Amen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you that the firm foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for victory in Jesus. We thank you for the testimony of the choir. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to worship today. Lord, we pray for those who are here today who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray for those who know the Lord, whose hearts are disturbed and troubled, and we pray that you might meet them at their point of need. We do pray for the families of those who have served our country faithfully through the years, and we honor them on this day, and we thank you for their sacrificial service to our country. We pray your great blessings upon each and every one of them. Now, Lord, as we come to this time, as we open your word, as we hear what you have to say to us, we have sought to honor you with our words. We've sought to glorify you. We pray now that you might truly speak to our hearts, that we might hear from you, that we might be willing to do what you call us to do. And we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for the privilege we have to be together in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated if you're not standing, and I see you're not standing, so all right. I'm Pastor Mike. We're glad that you're here. If you're a guest with us this morning, God bless you for being here. If you have your copy of God's Word, find Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, second book in your New Testament. These days we've been talking about the responsibility our church has, along with every other follower of Jesus in the world, to go and tell. This is what Jesus said for us to do. Go and be my witnesses. So in Mark chapter 5, we have a very, very powerful story of a man whose life was radically changed by Jesus, and how he went to tell his family, his friends, his city, the great things that God had done for him. So we'll be talking today. This will be the final week we talk about our responsibility to go and tell. So in just a moment, we'll go to Mark chapter 5. We've had a number of our people going and telling, not just here in Dixon, but also around the world. And I'd like for you to look at this testimonial of the Burgesses, who just recently went to Cuba. Let's play this at this time for everybody.
Hello, we're Gerald and Diane Burgess, and we want to share with you our experience that we've just had on a mission trip to Cuba, representing our church.
My passion and love is to share Jesus with others, and I felt that the Cuba mission trip would give me that opportunity, and it did. We witnessed to a lady in Cuba that was in bed dying of cancer. She had no hope for her eternity. But after she received Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, she had hope and peace for eternity with God and Jesus. Now, it doesn't matter how many times you've seen someone born into God's kingdom. It's a wonderful thing to know that God could use you and work through you to do God's work. It's His supernatural work you're witnessing. Now, it doesn't matter if you go across the street to tell your neighbor about Jesus, or if you go to Cuba to tell a Cuban about Jesus. It's the most wonderful, awesome thing that you as a Christian could ever do, to see someone who has received Jesus Christ and ask them, where is Jesus now? And they can answer you and say, He's in my heart.
It was a great honor for us to participate in the Cuba mission trip representing First Baptist Dixon and sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We were in the city of Manzanillo, which has a population of 110,000. It is economically challenged. The people are very warm and open and happy to meet visitors from the United States. They have very little in worldly possessions, but they are good at heart and quite willing to give you their time. No one refused to allow us to share Jesus Christ with them. We met people who have the same burdens, issues, and heartaches that we do. It may be a recent loss of a family member, a son who had been killed in an accident, or a son who had abandoned the family, or people with health issues. Many were quite lonesome and felt great despair due to their personal or family circumstances. Mm-hmm. We shared the gospel with many and prayed for others that were burdened and troubled. Of the people that we shared the gospel with, only four rejected the invitation to receive Jesus Christ. We ministered to many people, whether in their home, in a hospital, or on the streets. It was an awesome experience to go on a mission trip with one focus, and that is to teach, tell, and witness to other people what God did for them by sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world.
So there's nothing more powerful than a changed life. We see lots of natural, amazing, powerful things in creation. You know, these days in Hawaii, you have the volcanoes, you have astronomers who talk to us about the amazing things that happen in outer space, all of these powerful things that have to do with creation, but nothing is more powerful than a changed life, someone who comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this room, just like all morning long, has been filled with people whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus. Well, today we're going to read a story, familiar story to some of you, to others of you, maybe it's the first time you've ever heard it. This story is a story about Jesus met a man who had lifelong torture and pain, and how he came to be saved and his life changed, and he spent his days then going and telling the wonderful things the Lord had done for him. So if you're in Mark chapter 5, I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word. In this story, Jesus arrives in a particular place. A man who was demon-possessed meets him, and Jesus changes his life, saves him by sending the demons out of this man into the pigs who were there in that particular place. And so after the pigs ran over the side of the cliff and were destroyed, the herdsmen came, and we pick up the story. I don't have all of these verses on the screen, but if you have your copy of God's Word, we'll begin reading in verse 14. The herdsmen ran away, that is, after the pigs ran over the side of the hill because they were possessed by the demons. The herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind. The very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. Now verses 19 and 20 are our focus for today. And Jesus did not let him, but he said, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Heavenly Father, as we stand now before you, having heard these words, we thank you, Lord, that you have saved many of us. As we have repented of our sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed you as Lord and believed in our heart that you are raised from the dead and alive even today, we thank you for saving us. Now we pray that you might push us, prompt us, stir us who are saved to go like this man to our friends and neighbors and tell them, proclaim to them what great things you have done for us and how you've had mercy on us. We thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you for this day together. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So as we think about this man's changed life, I want to make three observations from this story. Number one, I want you to see with me this morning that Jesus met a man with lifelong torture and pain. He met a man whose life was filled with torture and pain. If you still have your Bibles open, we read beginning in verse number two, when Jesus got out of the boat, immediately, Jesus, just as soon as his foot touched the ground, immediately, a man from the graves, a man from the tombs, with an unclean spirit, met Jesus. Then we read about what was going on in this man's life. He had his dwelling. He lived among the tombs. No one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Verse 5 is so important. Constantly. Oh, do you see that word, church? This was the man's lifestyle. This is the way he lived every day. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs. Do you hear that, church? And in the mountains. And he gnashed himself with stones. Jesus meets a man as he gets off the boat in this particular place who was filled with lifelong torture and pain. It's not just a Bible story. All around us, students, children, adults, boys and girls, men and women, live in lifelong torture and pain. Inside, they cannot control the pain, so they try with alcohol, drugs, materialism, whatever it is, work to dull the never-ending lifelong torture and pain. Boys and girls, they go to school with this torture and pain. They cannot sleep at night, filled with anxiety and fear and dread and hate and anger. Oh, if our church could just see the world filled with lifelong torture and pain. It's not physical pain from getting old or from overworking. It's pain of the soul. It's lifelong torture and pain of the soul. Paul describes people who do not know Jesus as living in the futility of their mind. Their mind is filled with idea after idea, and none of those ideas take them to any place of peace or satisfaction. Paul describes people who do not know Jesus as having an understanding that gets darker and darker. Paul describes people who do not know Jesus as having an understanding that is darkened, and they're alienated from the life of God, and they live in callousness and hard-heartedness. They don't care if they hurt somebody else, and they often hurt themselves. Lifelong torture and pain. Those who would wish to end their life because they cannot find any purpose for living. This man constantly, church, day and night, screamed among the tombs and in the mountains. So all of the village and all the people could hear this man's torture, and he gnashed himself with stones. Do you see that all around us, are people who live with lifelong torture. They work with you. They go to school with you. They're in the store when you go to the grocery. They're the people who wait on you at the tables on Memorial Day. They're all around us. They live in our community, next door to us. They live in our houses. Jesus met a man with lifelong torture and pain. The church will never be busy to share and go and tell unless we are convinced that people really live the way Pastor Mike is describing it. It's the only thing that will propel us to go when we see the seriousness of the need. How many more newscasts, how many more stories? And even Tennessee, the place where the Bible is preached and churches are everywhere and Christians are all over, we rank at the top of the list in the United States, above some other states that we would think would be there, as people who abuse prescription drugs at the highest level. If you have them, my friend, you don't need them, and they're not prescribed by your doctor, and you've addicted yourself, you must talk to somebody and get some help and take those pills, take them to the sheriff's office, and destroy them. Get rid of those things. Alcohol and all the rest. Jesus met a man with lifelong pain and torture. So will you if you know Jesus. You're going to run across these people every day of your life. And so today, we're reminded of the terrible, horrible condition of this man who lived in lifelong torture and pain. The good news is, number two, Jesus saved this man. And Jesus will save you today. Jesus will save those today who have lifelong torture and pain in the same way. Jesus was saying to the demons as he got off the boat, verse number 8, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then we see this demon-possessed man as he saw Jesus. He ran demon-possessed and kneeled before the great one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has authority over demons, death, hell, and all the rest. King of kings, Lord of lords. He kneels as a demon-possessed man. And these demons speak out and they say, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Three times we read of begging in this story. First, we read the demons begging not to be tortured by Jesus. The second thing we read earlier was that the herdsmen and the people of the community, they were begging Jesus to leave. Can you imagine that? People asking Jesus to leave. And then we read, and we'll talk about it in just a moment, a man who begged Jesus to go with him. Jesus met a man living for his entire life, day and night, in perpetual torture of soul, and he saved him. So Jesus sends these demons into the pigs, and again, we pick up, and I want you to see what the Bible says about what happens when you're saved. It's a great picture here, verse 15. These people came, look at your Bible again, they came to Jesus and they observed this man, and this is not the same man. Something has happened to this man. They observed the man who had been demon-possessed. Please look at this phrase: sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. That's a great description of what it means to come to know Jesus and to be saved. To sit down. Implied in that is a calmness. He was now sitting. The man who had been chained like an animal among the tombs. This one who could never stop screaming. This one who could never stop cutting himself. This man who could not sit still is now sitting there completely calm, sitting before Jesus. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Let me ask you a question. Can you sit still? That's not just what we tell toddlers, by the way. Can you sit still? And may I ask you this? What happens when you get quiet and sit still? What rages in your mind? What thoughts race through your head? When you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you sit still, there's peace. There's a break from all of the worry and all the pain and all the hate and all the anger and all the agitation. Jesus saved this man from a tortured mind. He saved him. He's sitting down now in peace and he's clothed. And he's in his right mind. You can only be in your right mind if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're going to be out of your mind as long as you do not know Jesus as Savior. First little church I pastored many years ago on a little country road, and we were there, Pat and myself, and our boy was 2 years old, Matthew. We were there trying to do what we could do. We wanted to live in the little house next to the church. They called it a parsonage. Any of you people know what a parsonage is? It's a house that was provided for the preacher to live in. So we wanted to stay there and serve out in this place. Well, the church people were a little concerned about it because on just the opposite side of the church in this little house was the most famous drug dealer in all the county. Young man with children. Went to Vietnam, didn't come back in such a good shape. Angry, hateful, bitter, violent man. It's kind of rough. Are you sure? No, we're going to be right here. We're just going to stay over here. Now, this is not a church of our size, and we won't have about on a good day with the cows and pigs and everything else that flew in the windows, we had about 35 people. So over time, this young man came to know Jesus. He sat down and all of a sudden he had peace. He even dressed differently. He looked differently on the outside. And all of a sudden, it's like he woke up from a sleep and saw his children and what he needed to do and how he needed to change his life. He got saved. He came to know Jesus. My favorite part was the day he came to church and the deacon said, "What are we going to do? The drug dealer's here today. Talk to him." That's what we're going to do. Jesus met a man and saved him, and he sat down, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's what Jesus does when he saves us. But there's a last thing. Jesus sent him to tell his family and friends what he had done for him. Now look at this. This man is the perfect disciple. We talk about it here at the church, that we're going to follow Jesus, love one another, and tell the world about Jesus. Look at this. This man wants to go with Jesus in the boat. Of course, he's in his right mind. He's with the Lord and Savior, the one who has authority over demons, the one who's had mercy on him. This man was crying out in perpetual torture and pain day and night. Everybody knew the bondage he was in, and now he's completely changed and transformed. He wants to go with Jesus in the boat. I'm going with Jesus in the boat. I'm getting away from these tombs. And Jesus said, no, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. Isn't it interesting? He didn't send an angel. There wasn't a big thunderstorm and an earthquake. He sent a changed man back to his city. He sends you and me back to the people who've known us when we've been changed and saved. Go home and tell your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. Great things He has promised, great things He has done. And great our rejoicing in Jesus the Son, though purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. That's what we do. We tell them the great things that He has done for us. You go and you tell. You go and tell the great things. Listen, friend, if you're born again today and you know Jesus, is there somebody you could go see this week and say to them, here are the great things that the Lord has done for me? Well, I want to help you today. All right. If you came in and you received a bulletin, inside of it was a track. And may I just say this to you? If you don't want to do what I'm going to ask you to do, don't throw this on the floor, please. Don't put it in the trash. Just set it on the table out there. This is what Billy Graham has put together called Steps to Peace with God. It's based on the bridge to life that I talked about on Easter Sunday morning. It's a simple, it's the same pictures. It's the same thing. Now, are you listening? Now, remember, I am naive Pastor Mike, okay? Don't break my naivety. I know that you hear every sermon I preach and you remember every one of them. I know that. Please don't tell me you don't. I know you do everything we ask you to do. Please don't tell me you don't. Don't put your arms like this. That'll mean I'm really not going to do it. Just listen. I want you to try something. I want you, all of you who are part of First Baptist Church, I've asked people all morning long, I want you to take this right here, and I want you to give this to somebody. I want you to give it to somebody. You might not have the chance to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, but you can give them this. You might still be afraid to tell somebody. You just aren't sure what's going to happen, what they're going to say if you tell them about what Jesus has done for you. Okay, then Steps to Peace with God. Because of the tortured lives of so many around us, just take this and give it to them. Leave it on the table. Set it on somebody's desk or chair at work. They don't even have to know it was you. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And oh, by the way, how He has had mercy on you. That's what Jesus did for this man. And that's what He's done for every last one of us who know Jesus in this room, no matter how long you have walked with God. So let's go and tell. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the opportunity we have to hear Your word. We thank You, Lord, for those of us who have confessed Jesus and we have come to have our right mind again. We thank You for waking us up from our sin and showing us how we've neglected our friends and our family and done harm to ourselves because of our sin. We thank You for saving us and having mercy on us. We thank You for changing us. Lord, You haven't taken us to heaven yet. You haven't let us come. So You've sent us to go. So help us to go and tell. As I have prayed, Lord, send and churn and stir the people here. We pray for some of our friends who still live in torture. Sinful, soulful torture. Take the blinders off the church. Help us to see the sinfulness of the world. You may be here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, we believe unto righteousness. If you need to come to know Jesus, we'd love to help you. Our pastors will be here. Others of our men are available. Men and women, they'll help you. We'll talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. If you're living in torture, you don't have to leave today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Step away from your torture, friend, and follow Jesus so you can come to your right mind and sit down in peace. If you're here this morning and you've prayed about church and you would like to join us as we go and tell, we invite you to come. We do this every week. We invite you, if you've been praying about a church home, come and join us here. Unite with us and we'll help you. You can walk with us as we seek to follow Jesus and love other people and tell them about the Lord. Well, how you do it is you step out and you come when we start singing. You come down here and meet one of us at the front and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to be baptized as a believer. I'm ready to join this church, whatever that decision is. And then for a whole bunch of us in here, you have to decide if you go tell this week or be quiet. You have to decide. Jesus said, go tell. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing Jesus, draw me close, closer to you. Lord, let the world around me fade away. Draw me close. In just these few minutes, this is your chance. Wait now for you if you need to come. You come on.